Okay, good morning. This is the third shiur of a series of shiurim. When we did the first two classes, the first two shiurim was the first one and a half shiurim we did the malacha of borer, and the second half of the second class we did the malacha of tofer, which is sewing. And we spoke about how sewing is not really sewing, it means taping and gluing and attaching things. So from the fact that we did borer in just one and a half classes, that is the biggest proof that we're not here to get into all the intricacies of all the malachos and things like that. We're going to have to leave that out. We're trying to grab as much as we can of practical halacha of Hilchos Shabbos, just the common examples, just to give many examples, the ways out of borer, the ways out of tofer, things like that. Last week we discussed safety pins and diapers and band-aids. Today we're going to be doing the malacha of korea, which is tearing, and I want to do that pretty quickly. Like I said, we're not going to get into all the intricacies of korea, and then I want to discuss halachos of writing and erasing on Shabbos. So let's just start with korea. Just need to explain just for 60 seconds the basics of where korea comes in, then we'll just get to a lot of examples, is that in the Mishkan, all the malachos on Shabbos depend on what was in the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan, what they had to do was they had to tear. A lot of times the curtains had a hole in it, and in order to sew the holes back up, make it perfect, they had to tear it first in order to have a perfect square, a perfect circle. This way they were able to sew it back up. So therefore, anytime you tear something on Shabbos, the only time it's going to be asur midairaisa, not forbidden according to Torah law, is if it's a constructive tearing. I mean, if you tear just because and you ruin something with that, that is not forbidden midairaisa. That's only forbidden on a rabbanon level. But anything that you do for a constructive purpose is going to be midairaisa. Now, it doesn't have to be that you're going to sew it up again later, like they did in the Mishkan. Anything for constructive is going to be forbidden midairaisa. Anything destructive that you tear in a destructive manner, that's only forbidden on a derabbanon level. However, either way, whatever you tear, it's going to be forbidden. Of course, we keep all the derabbanons as well. So no matter what you do, whether you tear it in a constructive way or you tear it in a destructive way, it's forbidden. So how can we tear things? How can we open packages on Shabbos? So the answer is the following. For a Shabbos need, something that's necessary to be used on Shabbos, such as food or medicine, that you are allowed to tear in a destructive fashion. Okay, so you need a combination of two things. You need to tear something in a destructive fashion, because then it's only forbidden on a derabbanon level. And secondly, it needs to be a legitimate Shabbos need for food or for medicine if somebody is sick. So anytime we open a package, we tear something, we have to keep those things in mind. We have to do it a destructive way, and it has to be something like food or medicine. If you get mail on Shabbos, so besides the fact that perhaps mail that you get on Shabbos is muksa, but let's say you got the mail already on Friday, and you didn't get a chance to open it on Friday, you want to open it on Shabbos, you're not allowed to open up an envelope on Shabbos, because that is not considered a Shabbos need. Even if you tear apart the envelope in a destructive way, but it's not a Shabbos need. If it's something that you feel like you really, really need to know today or something, a message from a doctor or something, okay, so then that's a different issue. But stam, a regular letter, an envelope, even if it's not muksa, you can't open it up, even in a destructive way, because that's not considered a Shabbos need. So let's discuss all the foods, all the packages that we open. We have to discuss each one just to go through the examples, just to open our eyes to these things, how they need to be opened in a destructive way. Let's say a cereal box. Shabbos morning, you want to give cereal to your kids. So you all know that a cereal box has, you have to open two things. You have to open the box, the cardboard box, and then there's that plastic bag inside. So that cardboard box is not allowed to be torn open. The only way you could tear it open, it's not really allowed to be opened in a regular fashion, because that is considered constructive. You're opening it up. Now this cereal box could be used for the future. You could put the cereal back inside and you wrap up the bag. That's considered in a constructive way, in a good way. The only way to open up a cereal box on Shabbos is if you tear apart the box. Of course, no tearing any letters. There's an empty chair over here if you want. If anyone wants to take notes. You have to tear open the box in a destructive way, which means tear it down, right? There's four corners to the box, tear it down the corner, and you just totally tear it. If your kids want to read the back and the games and everything, they could still read it, you know, on the other side. But you have to tear open the box in a destructive way. You're allowed to in a destructive way, but it has to be opened in a destructive way. Other bags. Now, there's an important halacha over here. When you open up other bags, let's say, a bag of napkins, or a bag of potato chips for Shabbos party, Shabbos afternoon, or many other containers, a bag of croutons, so many other things. The halacha is that if something is opened up very easily, it's made to open up easily, and it's open up is just, a little kid could open it up, then that is not called korea. That is not called tearing on Shabbos. So that is a leniency that we find by, let's say, snack bags. You have a small potato chip bag, or a small Bisley bag, or something, a small Bamba, whatever it is, those of you eat peanuts, that any small bag that's made to open up very easily, that is not a problem, and you don't need to open it up in a destructive way. So that is a big leniency. Every single thing that you open up, you need to decide, and it's not easy to decide, is this considered opened up easily or not? The example that we gave of the cereal box is not something that is considered opened up easily. It's stuck together, it's made to stuck together to keep the freshness. That needs to be opened up only in a destructive way. The inside bag to the cereal box, to the cereal, that I'm not so sure. You know, you do have to pull at it. You know what I mean? Like, when that cereal box, you do have to pull at it. It's supposed to be fresh. I would think that that should be opened up in a destructive way. Now, if you're opening up a new cereal box, you don't want to open up at least the inside bag for sure. You don't want to open up in a destructive way. So what's the Eitzah? Open it up before Shabbos, right? You didn't go Shabbos morning and buy the cereal Shabbos morning. You didn't go Friday night and buy it. So preferably to open up the cereal before Shabbos.
Even a potato chip bag or something, does that need to be completely open in a destructive way? Or
anything that you need to tear. I mean, even if you make a tiny hole that you're not going to be able to get any potato chips out, that's not good enough.
But you have to rip apart the bag in order, and empty all the chips, or can you
right.
open
so
the
bag? Right, so if you're going to open it up in a constructive way, because if you understand that a small potato chip bag is considered easy to open up, then you don't have to do it in a destructive way. You could just open up regular.
And even if you, let's say, wrap it up, even if you only want some
chips. Because that's not considered a kli. We don't consider it's as far as making a kli, makah, patish, or bona. It's only a problem of tearing. And tearing is not a problem if it's opened up easily. We're going to get to bottle caps and to other things like that, and metal cans. But for potato chip bags, we say you could just simply open it up. But something that's hard to open up, like a cereal box, you have to do one of two things. Like we said, either open it up in a destructive way, or if it's something that you don't want to open up in a destructive way and then have to empty out the contents into something else, a Ziploc bag or something, then it should be opened up before Shabbos. Definitely, it's always better to open it up before Shabbos. So it has to be that it will not be able to be used again. Meaning, let's say, let's stick to our example, the cereal box. If you open up the cereal box in a normal fashion, you could use it again. You put it back in the pantry and you would use it tomorrow. You have to open it up in a way that it cannot be used again. Okay? That you would have to throw it out in the garbage.
Okay, that
you would have to throw it out in the garbage. Right. Because then that's considered destructive. You know those milk cartons you buy in Kosher Connection? So there's the red and the blue. So they have that ring around it. So to get it off, it's the easiest way that we do it during the week is you take off that ring, it has that tab, and you take off that ring. That is korea. That's tearing. You can't do that on Shabbos. According to some place, you should not do that on Shabbos. That needs to be, you have to give a little bit strength. You got to give a little tug at it. That's not considered something easy to open up. So the place can say that should be opened up before Shabbos. It's not going to get spoiled. Don't worry about it. If you open up Friday afternoon and you want to use the milk throughout Shabbos, open it up before Shabbos. If you can't, if you forgot or you didn't realize and now it's closed, there's something that you could do, which is the following. You have to be careful when you do this. Don't let your kids do this. Take a knife, and I'm sure you've heard of this idea, and take the knife and you could stick it underneath the cap without removing that tab around it. You stick it underneath and you could watch your own fingers or with a fork perhaps, and you flip off the top of the milk carton without separating that ring around the bottle cap. And it doesn't help to separate it only 90% because you're tearing that 90%. So that's considered tearing the bottle cap to the tab. Again, either preferably open it up before Shabbos. There should be a few minutes in your house before Shabbos where you're opening up, making sure the cereal boxes are open and any sugar containers are open and the milk cartons are open, and we're going to get to soda bottles in a moment. Those should preferably be done before Shabbos. And if not, then we said you could stick your fork or a knife underneath and flip it off like that, and then this way it's never disconnected. Bottle caps. I know I'm just flying through the examples. We're leaving out, like I said before, we're leaving out all the intricacies of the malacha. I'm just getting down to practical halacha. Bottle caps. I am not here to come and tell you you're allowed to open bottle caps, you're not allowed to open bottle caps. The bottle cap discussion, besides everybody, you know, a lot of people, families have different opinions and they take it very seriously. You do open bottle caps, you don't open bottle caps on Shabbos. This is something that the Paiskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Moshe, Rav Yashiv, Rav Nissen Kerlitz, all the Paiskim already discussed it. So I'm not here to decide who's right and who's wrong. All we could tell you is that if you open up the bottle before Shabbos, the fizz is not going to be totally lost. I have proof for that. I experience it every week. I remember, and I try to remember, and I open up the bottle before Shabbos. Even those Paiskim, there are some Paiskim that say that the plastic bottles, you are allowed to. Many that say that the plastic, you're not allowed to. Those that say, this is very important, and this much, even if you come home and your husband tells you, no, we open bottles on Shabbos, we open bottles on Shabbos. That's fine, you have what to rely on to open bottles on Shabbos. However, you should know that even the Paiskim, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, let's say, that says you're allowed to open bottles on Shabbos, even those Paiskim, they say it's better to open it before Shabbos. And they loved every Yid, and they wanted everyone to have all the fizz and to enjoy it as much as we all want it. And they said, even those places that say it's permitted, it's still better to open it up before Shabbos, as you were alluding to before, that besides the issues of Korea, that you're tearing, so to speak, the bottle cap from that ring around the top that stays there, there's also other issues of bone, writing not so much, but bone, of building, because you're building a bottle cap, and makah bepatish, which perhaps we'll get to at some point. These are other melachos that are potentially a problem. So the bottle caps issue is quite clear. Many paiskim say you can do it. Many more paiskim say you cannot do it. The best is to open it up before Shabbos. You have one of your many things that you need to do before Shabbos, the crock pot, the hot plate, whatever it is opening up all your milk cartons, your cereal boxes, and your bottle caps.
Is this all bottle caps, like apple juice, soda, seltzer, like they're all...
Any bottle cap that there's a ring around it. Most of the bottle caps nowadays, they have like a special type in Eretz Yisrael that's called Pekak Shabbos, that doesn't have a ring that remains around the bottle cap. We're talking about the tearing over here, I should have explained. The tearing is the tearing of the bottle cap from that ring around. Now, originally it was connected. When you take it off, you hear the snap, it's disconnected. So besides the other issues of making a new kli, but there's the issue of tearing. So that should preferably before Shabbos be totally disconnected. I'm sure you've all heard of, it could be some of you heard of, the idea that you tear open the bottle cap and then you leave off a little bit that's still connected to the ring. That does not help as far as the issue of korea, of tearing, because you tore 95% of it. That helps perhaps for other issues of making a utensil. You're making a new bottle cap. So since it's still connected, so it's not as if I made a new kli. Fine, that's perhaps, you know, to take care of those melachos. But again, like we said, it's best to open it up before Shabbos. And even Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach that says that you can, he says it's still better to do it before Shabbos. Soda cans, I think there are even fewer paiskim that say you're allowed to open soda cans. Again, preferably you should open it up before Shabbos. The halacha is by both these examples. Even if your husband tells you you're not allowed to open, we don't open soda cans, we don't open soda bottles. If somebody else is at your table, a guest or a host, or a relative, whatever it is, and they open up soda bottles or soda cans, the halacha is the following. If they open it up, you're allowed to drink from it. But you're not allowed to ask them to do it for you. If you take the stringent opinion, and there's plenty of paiskim that say you should be stringent, to not open bottle caps and to not open soda cans, if you go with that strict opinion, your husband wants you to go with that strict opinion, that's fantastic, that's great, but therefore you're not allowed to ask somebody else to do it, even if they are the ones they hold that you are allowed to. They rely on the opinion that you are allowed to. You're not allowed to ask them straight out. If they do it, so then you are allowed to drink from it. I guess it's not any different than a guy. I guess you could say, oh gee, I'm so thirsty and I don't open bottles, and you know they'll take the hint. I guess that will be permitted. But that is halacha to keep in mind for soda bottles and for soda cans. The juice boxes. Yeah.
Sorry, I just had a question. Like the cans, it's a problem opening it because
so it's the same as the soda bottles. There's a problem of korea, perhaps korea that you're tearing, and also there's a problem that you're making it into a kli. You're making it now into a kli.
So what about like when you open a tuna can? Can you?
We'll get the tuna cans in 1 second. That's exactly what we're going to get to in tuna cans. If I don't answer your question, you'll call out again. Okay? The juice boxes with those silver linings, you know, like you shake before inserting, and then you take the straw and you stick it in, that's not a problem. We say that's not a problem. That's included in what we said before. We said before, those who missed it, that anything that's considered easy to open, like a potato chip bag or a snack bag, so the place can say that those juice boxes, that's considered easy to open up, and you could stick the straw in. That's not a problem of Korea. And as well, you know, like those yogurts, the yogurts that you know, the top is connected and you tear that open, that's considered it's made easy to open up. If you have, sometimes they have a package of puddings or yogurts, that's a package of six or four, and then you have to separate them. Be extremely careful. We're going to get to erasing if there's a picture on more than one of the tops, and there's a one big picture over the container of the four puddings. You can't separate those. You have to separate those before Shabbos. Those you can't separate from each other. If you didn't, so fine. So just open up one of them, and you'll eat one out of the three, and it's one out of the four, and it'll still be connected. But as far as opening it, the place can say that's not a problem.
You said that it's okay to to peel the whole top off of the...
Yeah, you could peel the whole top off. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's what the place can say. That, you know, that's considered also something that's easy to open up. Separating them, you know, will be a different issue. Yeah.
What about separating string cheese?
String cheese is the package?
No, the pieces from each other. Yeah.
Food is... There's no korea by food. Food, tearing food from each other is not a problem.
No,
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
I'm talking about the package of the string cheese come with, let's say, a row of food.
Oh, okay, fine.
Plastic.
So that's a very good question. That is not... Right, so the ices, okay, so we're going to get to ices also. Well, we'll get to the string cheese in a second. First, the problem with those string cheeses is that you'll notice that there's, you know, there's four or six connected. There's dotted lines connecting each one. Anytime there's dotted lines by these string cheeses, or by, let's say, by the freeze pops, or by toilet paper, or paper towels, dotted lines is a problem of mechatech. It's a different one of the 39 malachos, of cutting. A cutting means when you're cutting on a to size, to a specific size. And when the company puts those dotted lines, that means that it works out perfectly to cut it to those size, because I want those six string cheeses separately, or toilet paper, or paper towels. So you're not allowed to cut on the dotted, any time, you're not allowed to rip it on the dotted lines because of the problem of mechatech. So that would not be allowed. What we do for the string cheeses is you would just keep them connected to each other, and open it up, and then take the string cheese out. That's not a problem as far as opening up. That's also, we say, that's considered easy to open up. There was a big problem with those bottle caps that we spoke about before, the Eretz Yisrael. So they made special bottle caps called Pekak Shabbos. Pekak means a bottle cap, which also means traffic, because it means like something that stuffs something up. But so they made a bottle cap without the ring around it. So it's fantastic, no korea. But the problem was that they covered it with, because you need a safety seal. Now you come to the store, you want to make sure it's never been tampered with. So how do you know? So they put one of those plastics on top of it, and they had those machate, they had those lines, and they made it even worse, because that is forbidden according to everybody. And the pekaksha and the rings is only forbidden according to some paiskim, like we said. So it was a big tumult, because, you know, the badatz was all upset because they made the bottle caps to take care of korea, but they caused the other problem of machate.
Somewhere else, let's say those bottles that come with the dotted lines in it.
Right.
So let's say you would cut it with a knife somewhere else.
Right. So you would have to try and cut it with a knife on somewhere else. That could be, you know, that would be a good way. But again, it have to be in a destructive way. That would probably always be considered destructive. What did you ask me before about? Oh, those freeze pops. Those freeze pops. The place can say something I found very interesting. We all do this. You cut the freeze pop on top, right? And then, you know, of course, no letters. You're not cutting any letters. And then the child has his freeze pop. So the place can say that's not allowed. Because like we said before in the beginning, that it has to be in a destructive way, unless it's considered easy to open up. Those freeze pops are not easy to open up. I tried myself, and it's very hard. You have to take a scissors. Now, anything that you're allowed to tear open on Shabbos, you're allowed to use a scissors. Okay? A scissors is a klish malach dal iser. You're allowed to use a scissors. You're allowed to use a hammer to open up, to crack a nut. It's a kli that's used for something iser, but you're allowed to use it for something that's permitted. The problem is with these freeze pops, that you're opening it up in a constructive way, because now it's able to be used. Now you could push up the pop. So that is a big problem. You don't want to do it in a destructive way. Then what are you going to do with the ice afterwards? Then all the juice is going to spill out on the floor, and the whole fun is when it melts and then you drink the juice. So it's a big problem. My kids ask me, you know, to open it up on Shabbos, and like I feel like a bad father telling them you can't have them on Shabbos.
What if
so
you bite the top?
I'm sorry?
What if you bite the top?
But you're tearing it. You're tearing it.
It's not a clean cup.
It does, but it's still in a constructive way, because the rest of the kli, the rest of the freeze pop is, even if the top is, let's say, a jagged edge, but the whole kli, the whole freeze pop is usable. The ice stays in there. Right? Some place can say it's forbidden when you have like an ice cream pop that comes, a bought one, that comes in a package. So you open up the package nice and easy, and then you're holding the stick, and then anything that melts falls into those package. So that's also not permitted, unless you say that those wrappers are easy to open up. Like we said, like the potato chip bag, something that's easy to open up is not a problem. That I would say you could rely on, because that's very easy to open up. But those freeze pops are very hard to open up, and even if, which is a good idea, like to tear it with your mouth, but it's still considered in a constructive way. I really don't, I was looking and looking to try and find a way out how we could have freeze pops on Shabbos, or at least our kids could have. I didn't see any place that come up with a heter for that. Metal cans. Someone asked before about metal cans. So let's say like a tuna can. So you want to open up a tuna can on Shabbos, and we're not discussing now how you make tuna with the mayonnaise and the problems of lush, but you want to open up a tuna can on Shabbos. So a tuna can, korea is not a problem so much, similar to the bottle can, to the soda cans, because korea is not a problem by hard materials. Okay, it's only by soft materials. By hard materials like metal, there's no problem of korea. However, by opening up a tuna can, there's other problems of making a kli, like we spoke about before, of making a kli. So the permitted way, the place can say, the permitted way to open up a tuna can on Shabbos is the following. You have to open it up only halfway. Don't take off the top totally. Open up halfway. And this applies also, you know, like those jars of pickles that, the Israeli pickles, that the, you open it, has like a tab, you open it up halfway, that's a metal top, so you open it up only halfway. And number two is you discard the contents immediately. Anything that's inside, the tuna fish, the pickles, whatever you just opened, a compote, a fruit cocktail in like one of those metal cans, you empty it out immediately. Now you don't have to empty it out into the garbage, you empty it out into a bowl, into something that you're going to use. So that, and if you do those two things, you open it up only halfway and you discard the contents immediately, that is permitted because you did not make a kli, because you only open it up halfway, and since you throw it in the garbage immediately, you empty out the contents right away and you throw it out in the garbage. So for that, we say with those combinations, that's permitted and you are allowed to use a can opener on Shabbos.
So you don't have to poke a hole at the bottom?
Not by a metal can. You don't have to poke a hole in the bottom. In the bottom, you do like that. What you're saying, a good idea of poking a hole, is before we spoke about bottle caps. So even if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says by bottle caps that are metal, like you have sometimes on grape juice bottles, at least in Eretz Yisrael, the grape juice bottles have the metal. So that, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, is not allowed, because it depends on how it's made. He goes into the intricacies of how they're made in the factory, the difference between the metal caps and the plastic caps. But the metal caps, if you forgot to open it up before Shabbos, so you do exactly like you just said, that you make a hole in the kli. You make a hole in the kli, and okay, that's only if there's no ring around it. The metal caps usually don't have a ring around it, so the korea is not so much of a problem, but the problem is making a kli. So if you make a hole in it, you poke a hole, take a fork, you poke a hole in the metal top. If there's a picture of a cluster of grapes, like they have in the Tirosh grape juices, in those of you who lived in Eretz Yisrael, so you make sure to poke the hole not on the grapes, on the side. Then you have a hole in the bottle cap, and then you didn't make the bottle cap into a kli once you open it up. Okay, so again, all these type of situations, we said it's better to open it up before Shabbos, but we said as far as cereal boxes, it has to be in a destructive way. The inside bag of the cereal box, we said preferably also should be in a destructive way. Again, if you do it before Shabbos, it's great, but also preferably in a destructive way, and then empty out the contents. Soda bottles, we spoke about this, different opinions, and other packages like napkins, and that also you should preferably should not be done, or if you wanted to do it, it has to be in a destructive way. Potato chip bags are usually easy to open, so therefore that's totally permitted, and the metal cans, the tuna cans, should be opened up halfway with a can opener, halfway, and empty out the contents immediately and throw out the tuna can. Did I cover what you wanted as far as tuna cans? Yeah? Okay.
I'm confused, because last week you said that we couldn't use a potato peeler because it makes it more efficient.
Right.
So how can we use a...
Excellent question. So over there, what we discussed last week, we were discussing borer. So the halacha is by borer that it needs to be, one of the three conditions, it needs to be done with your hands. And you can't use a kli that's made to make the borer more efficient. In regards to borer, that's a rule in regards to borer, that you can't use a kli that makes it more efficient. Over here, there's no issue of borer because the cap is over here and the food is underneath. That's not a problem with borer. As far as korea is concerned, you're allowed to use a specialized utensil as long as you do it in a permitted way. So that's the difference. That's a rule specifically by borer. Yeah.
What's the difference between a soda can and like the tabs to open a can? You know, like the oranges, the pickles.
That could be the same. As far as korea, it could be there's no problem of korea also by the soda cans. But the problem would be as far as making a kli and either bone or makabapata. So korea is probably not a problem by the soda cans as well, because by metal there's no korea, but there'll be other issues of bone or...
So if you empty the soda can right away, is that okay?
If you open it up right, okay, if you open it up halfway and then you empty the mat right away, you know, perhaps, you know, that would be also a way out, similar to the tuna can. Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
That orange juice can, the paper can, the cartons.
Those cartons, right. So you have like that ring and then you pull that off. And is that considered easy to do? It could be. I could hear that that's considered, that would be considered korea, but the question is, and if it's considered easy, then korea is permitted over there. Could be if that's considered easy to do, then that would be allowed. I imagine, you know, that would be allowed. And I think that's the minig of minig olam, that, you know, they consider that similar to the yogurts and the puddings, that's considered easy to get off. They make it in a way that it's easy to open up.
So you can do that.
I'd imagine. Meaning something that's
halfway,
made to keep... I'm sorry?
Halfway
also. No, that you could take off totally. That you could take off totally. Because the orange juices, the way they're made, is that you're not making a nucleus, especially it's a plastic, it's a cardboard carton, so that's not a problem. And so as far as making a cleave or anything like that...
I thought you were talking about the pickle, the easiest to open.
Oh, cans. So the pickle ones also. So that you should open only halfway and empty the contents.
I'm talking like not with a can opener.
Right, yeah, it has that tag. Right, yeah, it has those Israeli pickles. Yeah, okay. So that also should be opened up only halfway and then you empty the contents right away. Anyways, you're probably going to want to store it in the fridge in a carton, right? It gets... moldy, it gets, you know, it's not good to keep it in that can, so my wife tells me. And so you want to open it up halfway, you empty out all the contents. If you want to serve all the contents right now, so for sure it's great, you just throw the thing in the garbage right away. If you only want to serve some of them, you only need one or two, so you just automatically put in another carton and you throw, and you open up halfway and you'll be able to get them out. And you know, yeah.
Why is opening the oranges different than the milk? Like when...
It's a good question. You know, it's hard to know. There are paiskim that say that the milk would not be a problem, but I would think that, you know, if something that's there mainly to keep the freshness, by the milk, by the orange juice, you have also that cap that's able to keep the freshness.
Same
so
with the milk, there's also the
okay, cap. Could be. You know, it could be they would be in the same boat. Could be. Quite possibly they'd be in the same boat. It's hard to get, you know, the all the, you know, the Heindig paiskim to get to every single case. I know that they speak by the milk cartons, they say that it's better not to do that. By the orange juice cartons, at least the ones that are printed right now, I don't think they had them yet. At least they weren't so popular. They had like those plastic cartons, you know, that they open up back like that. Right. So there they spoke about that, and they said also they discussed those issues. I'm not going to get into those because it's not so common nowadays. But it could be, you know, that would also be a problem. You know, if you want to not do it, you know, Ashwach, definitely. Okay. I think we covered most of the examples. Band-aids and diapers we spoke about last week as far as tying it. The same halachas apply to opening it. There are those that say that band-aids and diapers are not a problem. Like we said last week, there are some people that are makbid to open up the straps of the band-aid, of the diaper before Shabbos. If your husband has that custom, that's fine. But many rely on the fact that by diapers, that's called the derech tashmisho. That's just a normal way to do it, to open it, to close it, and that's not a problem of korea. It's made, you know, it's made to go back and forth, and it's going to be temporary. Okay, that's as far as the tightening up. Definitely, we have what to rely on for the band-aids, and for sure for the band-aids and for the diapers as well, to open it up on Shabbos. Again, these are some paiskim are very strong, and they say in the Yiddish, open up all your diapers before Shabbos. Band-aids you can't really open up before Shabbos because it loses the stickiness and you don't know you're going to need a band-aid usually. So for sure, band-aids you could rely on. Chazanish says you could open up a band-aid even in a constructive way. He says that's not a problem. He considers it something easy to open. The band-aids are usually easy to tear open. The diapers, also, many places can rely on the fact that you're allowed to open diapers on Shabbos.
Can I ask you a quick question, sorry, about
sure.
The pickle can?
Yeah.
You completely spoke about this, but when you empty out the contents, can you, is there any way to empty it out that you can leave a lot of the juice in?
Right, so we spoke about that when we discussed Borer. So the halacha is the following, just to say, review it quickly. You're not allowed to do borer. You're not allowed to do borer with a kli, with a utensil. So now, what does that mean? You're allowed to do borer with a fork or a spoon. It means that if you use a utensil that makes the borer more efficient, then that is not permitted. And that's something that you alluded to before. Something that makes it more efficient, you're not allowed to do the borer. So we gave one example: is if you take a carrot from a bowl of chicken soup, from a pot of chicken soup, and you take the ladle and you hold the ladle on the side of the pot and you let all the chicken soup drip out because you want just the carrot or just the zucchini, that's not allowed on Shabbos because you're using a kli. Over here as well, if you're using the cover of the can to separate. The juice is considered mixed up with the pickles, that's for sure. Maybe not the cover to the tuna fish or to the pickles, but if you're not allowed to hold the lid over there, and then have the juice go out, and then you're left with just the pickles, or to keep the juice, well, usually you would have the juice go out, you know, hold it like that. So that's not allowed on Shabbos, because you're using a kli, and it's not just simply because you don't want to get your hands dirty, or for more convenience, you're making the boder, you're making the separating more efficient. Okay?
One thing about the diapers, sorry.
Yeah.
I was told that, like, you can't wrap the diaper tight.
Right. So we discussed that last week. Also,
by
Korea, no problem. Today, no problem. Chazorah is good. And there are other people here that were not here last week. So the tying up the diaper afterwards, that's a problem of topher, of sewing. So when you tie it up, we spoke about last week, that it has to be in a temporary fashion. So if you tie it up, because you don't want this to smell up the whole kitchen, so when you tie it up and then you put it in the garbage, it's going to stay like that. So that's considered permanent, according to some paiskin. So you're not allowed to tie it up and then throw it away. That's what you're referring to?
Yeah.
Okay, so that we said, some people, Rabbi Ribiyat says that it's not for sure forbidden. It could be it's permitted, because even though it's going to be like that forevermore, but it's not considered permanent because it's like the diaper is history. So he says it's questionable. But definitely you should not do it. If you want to avoid the odor going around the kitchen, so you take a bag, everyone has tons of Kosher Connection bags, and take the bag, you put the diaper inside, you wrap it up, and then you throw it out in the garbage, or you could throw it out, it's not mukso because it's a graf shomer, eh? You could throw it out outside, in the garbage outside, it's not a problem. But that's, okay, yeah, preferably, I'm sorry?
It's like instinct for me.
Yeah, okay, so you gotta hold back. It's instinct for me also. And I know I'm Moyle, so after the bris one, I want to close up the diaper, and I want any garbage, any, you know, packages or anything that I want to put inside the diaper, so I want to make it look nice and neat, so I put everything in the diaper and I wrap it up and I close it, and then all my garbage is inside there and I just put it in the garbage. So I do that all the time. I did it this morning. So on Shabbos I have to hold back, I have to control myself from doing it, and I just wrap it up and, you know, I don't tie it up. Again, it's not for sure forbidden, but the many places can say you shouldn't do it on Shabbos. Yeah.
Very often I'll take a can of beans, poke a hole in the bottom, open the top, and leave it in the sink, and the water, the liquid drips out.
As far as borer, you mean?
As far as shopping.
And as far as anything. Okay, fine. No, okay, you have a strong question. All around. So if you make a hole on the bottom, so then you already made it, that now you're not making a kli. All the juice dripping out, you're just, you know, you're not doing it yourself, you're just leaving it there, perhaps, you know, even though you made the hole and now you're causing, because of that, the juice goes out. Is that considered a grumma? You know, perhaps that would be permitted. But why do you do that? Okay, so what you're allowed to do is you open it up halfway and, you know, you'll throw, you empty out the contents, you know, right away. But what you're allowed to do, you're not allowed to have the lid to hold back, to get all the juice out and hold back the contents. But the place can say you're allowed to just pour it like this, very gently, and let the juice drip out. Just without a lid, no lid, the lid is halfway off already. You just hold it up nice and slowly, or like by the chicken soup, a ladle, or anything like that. You're allowed to just hold it slowly, and then let the juice drip out. Almost all the juice will come out like that. If you want, if nobody's watching, you could take your finger and hold it like that, and all the food will stay inside. You're allowed to do borer with your fingers. Okay, perhaps that's considered maybe getting out the ochel from getting out the psolas from the ochel. Though the paiskim do say you are allowed to do that.
What if you let one pickle come out with the juice?
But it's still borer from the rest of it. You're saying, right, that's discussed by borer, that you're separating the good, some of the good along with it. Not sure. You know, but then if you have the lid with it, so then I don't know if you're going to be able to do that. So you're going to be taking without the lid. So then anyways, without the lid, it would probably be permitted. What you're doing, I would imagine, is permitted, but it, all I'm saying is that it's not necessarily so necessary, but it could be that would be permitted. I have to look into that more.
I might do that and go to shul and then come back and deal with it.
Well, anyways, we spoke about last week that borer has to be only done for immediate use. Okay? So you're not allowed to do any borer activities, even if you do it with your hands and with the good from the bad, if it's going to be for later use. And so you're not allowed to do your borer activities and then go to shul and then have the meal. If it's done for the meal, it has to be done before the meal. So anyways, to do that before and then go to shul, anyways, would not be permitted, because I would imagine that's considered borer. The question is if it's in a permitted way, but I imagine that's still considered under the categories of borer, and that should be done for immediate use. So, yeah?
Sorry, can I ask you, how do you separate the tuna from the juice or whatever, like on Shabbos?
Right.
Like I was made of whole
from the excess oil?
Yeah, the excess.
Okay.
Excess
so the place came right, and I'm not 100% sure why, but what they say is that you could one thing for sure they say is that you could pour out the oil like that. You're allowed to take a napkin, for sure a napkin, because it's going to be going into the garbage. You hold it on top of the excess of the tuna fish, and then you squeeze it out, and the oil could drip out like that. You're doing it with your hands, and if you don't want to touch the tuna fish because you don't want to get your hands dirty, so you just take a napkin or a paper towel that's ready cut before Shabbos, and you squeeze it out like that. That's not a problem of squeezing, and the fact that it goes into the napkins, that's also not a problem because the napkin is going to be thrown into the garbage. So that is definitely one way to get out any excess oil from the tuna fish. That's what that's what I would think. Considering all the problems, that would be the best way to do it. Open up the tuna can halfway, empty out the contents right away into a bowl, and throw out the can. And then you have lots of oil over there, so you could put it into, take that bowl, take a napkin, hold on top of it, and then let it drip out. The place can say that you would be allowed to do that. Okay? Fine. Toilet paper we're not going to discuss. You all know to buy tissues before Shabbos. There's a problem of mechatech as well as far as tearing. There's those dotted lines. So that's quite a problem of mechatech. There's other ways out in certain situations. If you find you have no toilet, if you have no tissues, definitely the best is to get the tissues or at least tear it before Shabbos. Or if not, you could borrow from a neighbor. We'll leave the toilet paper out separately. We have a few minutes left. Let me go to a little bit of writing and erasing. You got a question?
Yeah. What about a tissue box when you have like that plastic?
Yeah, excellent. Good question. Same idea. Those Kirkland tissue boxes, you buy the box of however many it is. So you have to, the top has those dotted lines that is, you're not allowed to open that in Shabbos.
But what about the underneath then? Right. There's sometimes like a plastic.
The plastic, okay.
I don't know if it's perforated.
That's, you have to be careful. You have to see. Yeah. So that, the cardboard on top, that for sure should be open on Shabbos. Anytime I take them out of the big box, I just open up, I take out all, because it's not going to get dirty, open up the cardboard. That plastic, you're right, I'm not sure. If there's a perforation in the middle over there, that should be opened up before Shabbos. A lot of times, the place came right, they have to be careful by tissue boxes. I don't think it's like it by the Kirkland ones, but by the Costco ones, but a lot of tissues and very much by fresh wipes, baby wipes. Those of us who use baby wipes on Shabbos, a lot of times, for sure by the baby wipes, they're connected, and there's a perforation in between them. It should not be separated on Shabbos.
What about actually opening a new bag of baby wipes that also has that sticker on top?
So that sticker, yeah. So you know, if that's considered easy to open, then that would be permitted. Yeah, then that would be permitted.
It has plastic underneath. There's a plastic that's probably perforated underneath it.
Not
know.
The Kirkland's.
Yeah.
The tissues or the baby wipes.
Baby wipes.
The baby
wipes. When you pull up that sticker, you see there's still a plastic piece on it.
Yeah, so any perforation, if there's a perforation, preferably should not do that on Shabbos. If you're stuck with a tissue box and you need to use a tissue box, or you need to use a package of baby wipes, and it's the only one you have, and you can't borrow from a neighbor, and there's a perforation, so the way to do it would be is to open it up at a different spot on the tissue box. It's not hard to rip, but that will be korea, but like we said before, you do it in a destructive manner. Let's say the tissue box, turn it upside down, and you tear open it up from the bottom, make sure you don't rip any words, and then you won't be, in a way that you won't be able to use the tissue box again. You'll take out all the tissue boxes and, I don't know, put it in a Ziploc bag or a package of baby wipes. If it's a big package, you get one of those gallon Ziploc bags. It should not be such a problem where to find to put all the contents, but the perforations should not be opened on Shabbos. If the only way to get to it is by opening it a different part of the tissue box or the baby wipes, so you should do that. But like we said before, you should tear it open in a destructive fashion. You have a question?
One other thing, the garbage bags, like the glad that are like...
Yes, okay. So that's a problem. What I try to do is I try and separate them from before Shabbos.
No, not the ones that are attached, that like when you open up the garbage
bag. Right, one garbage bag, and it's folded up, and right, yes. So I always try to open it up, but unfold it before Shabbos, or like I said to my kids, okay, who wants to do the garbage bag? So then they did it. But some place can say, which something like a garbage bag, which is, you know, considered like b'shas adchak, what else are you going to do? The place can say that if it was made to open up See, the Paiskim didn't say it by other perforations. I only saw one sefer, could be Rabbi Ribiat, that said by the garbage bags that would be permitted. Oh no, because they said the following. They said but those garbage bags, the way it's made is that it's not that it was full and then they made the perforations and now you can rip it, but that they were separate and then they attached them afterwards. I didn't call any factories or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure that that's what they said, that that's why by the garbage bags there would be what to rely on, that you could unfold each garbage bag on Shabbos, right? You finish with one garbage bag, you want to send it out to the front yard, right? You're allowed to, as long as you don't tie any knots, and then you want to open up a new garbage bag for the rest of Shabbos. There are paiskim that say, that those you are allowed to unfold on Shabbos, and they say it depends on how it was made in the factory.
It's okay. Not just folded though. Sometimes, like bag itself, when you pull it open,
right?
It's perforated.
It's perforated.
Right. So they say that. I'll check again. But the way they said it, that by those garbage bags, that some place can that say that would be permitted. Again, the best is to do before Shabbos. Right. But there are those that say that will be. But ever since I read that, I still try to avoid it because I don't understand it 100%. Like, you're asking good questions. Why it would be different than any other perforations, like between the baby wipes or the tissue box? But one safer out there, I'm pretty sure it's Rabbi Ribia, and I have to check it up again, Blinether. And he said that by the garbage bags it would be okay. The best will be to do before Shabbos. If you're having a lot of guests and you know you're going to need more than one garbage bag on Shabbos, or they're just not so big, so then the best will be to open it up before Shabbos and then put it back underneath in the garbage, and then underneath, and then you'll have it already open. Yeah.
If your example about the tissue boxes, would you be allowed to take a scissor and cut the bottom of the tissue box?
Yeah, if you're allowed. Yeah, if you do it, since you're allowed to cut open the tissue box, if you do it in a destructive way, anything that is permitted to be done on Shabbos, which of course we're only doing things that are permitted, you're allowed to use the scissors for. Right? A scissors is muksa. A hammer is muksa, right? These are the classic muksa, right? But the halacha is by a kli, anything that's utensil, like scissors and a hammer and these things, is allowed to be, that's malachto le'issa, that's usually used for something forbidden. If you want to use it for something permitted, then you're allowed to use it, l'tzarech gufa ul'makoma. So you're allowed to use a hammer to crack open a nut, you're allowed to use the scissors to open up something in a permitted way, and that's a kli shemalachto le'issa, that's mutter l'tzarech gufa. Yeah.
Sorry, I know you want to get on some of
okay, but we're not going to anyway, so.
I know you said with ripping with food, but what about like the tears on the clothing? Like, you know, your daughter has a new dress. And
okay,
she wants
so the place can say that that's not a problem because we say that that's a hard plastic, and that is considered something that is no korea, but we said by something hard, the place can say that that's not a problem. That you're allowed to rip that off. You're allowed to rip that off on Shabbos. That all the place can say explicitly, and that you're allowed to rip because that's not considered Torea. Korea. Sorry, a lot of people do know that. That you're allowed to do. What basically the rule is that there's only Korea by something. This is the way Ramosha Feinstein says it. That there's only Korea by something that if you would attach it again afterwards, it would be tofer. So that's not considered tofer by those hard plastics. So you're allowed to tear it off, and it's not a problem of makah bepatish because now you're finishing the garment, because you're not. The garment is considered whole by itself. It's just a tag on the outside. So we say that that's not considered a problem. That the place can say explicitly that is allowed on Shabbos.
Only tearing or using scissors.
For that, you'd be allowed to use the scissors also. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that the place can say straight out.
The tag and the plastic piece.
And the plastic piece, yeah.
The
tag itself, I'm not sure. The tag is really basically paper. So paper would be Korea. Paper would be Korea. But I'm sure you should be able to rip it open, you know, if you give a nice tug at it. So then you should be able to rip it off. With the tag still hanging. If you want to save the tag for whatever reason, then, you know, then don't throw it out. But, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right. So they're all stacked up on each other. So there's going to be a difference. We spoke about this two classes ago. That there's a difference if there's a whole mishkababel of socks and something. So that's considered full borer, and that needs to be done for immediate use. You can't a whole pile of socks. You can't take something out for tomorrow morning for your kids or for yourself, or jewelry that's in a whole mishkababel. You can't for Shabbat. You can't do it Friday night for Shabbos morning. It has to be for immediate use. But we said that if it's not in a whole mixture, but it's just tightly stacked, like shirts on a tightly stacked in a closet, or coats stacked up, or shirts or shells or whatever it is that's tightly stacked, so we said that there's a leniency that you're allowed to remove the top ones and take what you need on the bottom. Also for immediate use, But also for immediate use, but that's not considered a problem of removing the bad from the good, even though I'm taking out these ones that I don't want, because since it's not a whole mixture, it's just tightly stacked, that's a leniency by things that are tightly stacked. So that would be the difference in your laundry basket case, the difference if it's all mixed around or if it's just neatly stacked.
If I want to put it in the laundry basket, then I can't separate the color.
Right, so you would not be allowed to separate them, just like silverware and these things, you're not allowed to separate it, because the laundry basket is for later use, so that you're not allowed to do for later use. Right, okay, I have to think about that more. If you take one pickle together, you dump it all out in something else, yeah. And if you don't want to serve it with the juice, then you could take the pickles out. You could take the pickles out like that, because that's the good. You're taking out the good, the pickles. And if you're using it for immediate use, like we said, you can't do that to set up for the Shabbos Suda and then go to shul or and then go read a magazine or a newspaper or a book. You'd have to do it for immediate use.
Can you use a slotted spoon to do that?
A slotted spoon you're not allowed to, because any kli that is made specifically for borer, so then that's the problem of using a pekli. A slotted spoon, we said some apple core or a peeler, those are utensils that Moshe Feinstein says you shouldn't use, because that's considered borer with utensil. Borer has to be all three. It has to be with your hands, has to be for immediate use, and has to be the good from the bad. So you can't do it for later use, and you can't do it with a kli, utensil that makes the borer more efficient.
What about like you're playing a game?
Okay, so these are all good questions. These are all examples we discussed. That if you want the pieces now, so then you're allowed to, because you're using it for now. But if you want to clean up afterwards, and it's a whole mishka babble, and you want to clean up, put all the red stratego pieces here and the blue stratego pieces there, you can't do that, because since you're cleaning up, that's for later use, and you're not allowed to do borer for later use. Okay, if it's not mixed all around, it's 10 o'clock, so anyone who wants to go can go, we're finished. If chess pieces or any stratego pieces, you're allowed to use it, do it for now, you're not allowed to do it for later use.
So you can separate the colors.
You can separate the colors for now if you want to play now. For cleanup, you can't. If they're all mixed around, you can't separate them to clean up. No. Your kids will be thrilled. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.